We've got our Fayette County Sheriff Kathy Witt with us this morning. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm glad to have you here, and you brought.
Glad to be here.
You always bring real appropriate people as far as what's going on in the news. Tell us who you brought with you today.
Well, I try. Today we have with us Pat Duggar. She's the Director of Emergency Management here in Lexington. She has been the head of that organization and that team for several years, and I would consider her a subject matter expert in the coordination and the deployment of emergency management in lots of different kinds of disasters.
Yeah, when we think of Pat Duggar, we think of a disaster. How does that make you feel?
Proud.
Proud. How long have you been doing that?
Since 1988.
That's awesome.
Almost as long as you.
Oh, wow. That's really impressive. Okay, so now we've got a national disaster, the likes of which I don't know that we've ever seen, and we've had an opportunity to talk to people down there around awesome. Houston, and this morning had somebody in Austin, and the gentleman we had on this morning from Austin, I said, how do you think FEMA and the National Guard and all the other state resources have reacted in this case? And he said, I think they have done a remarkable job. Do you agree?
I agree. I think that there's been every time there's any kind of large event, you know, people get together and look at what lessons we can learn and how we can improve processes or procedures or training, you know, whatever it can be. And so there was a tremendous amount learned from Hurricane Katrina and Rita and even Sandy. So I think that they have really improved and done a lot better.
Yeah, I was going to say Katrina was kind of a disaster. I mean, it wasn't handled well at all.
It wasn't.
And so what was learned there that we're implementing now? Can you be specific about that?
Sure. I think one is that there's a lot more communication between the three levels of government. It's hard to be coordinated when you don't hardly talk prior to events. And when you're just all scurrying around when the event happens, you know, that makes it difficult. You don't know what the plans are, what the needs are. So there's a lot more communication across the nation. And I know that's true here in Kentucky. From that event in 2005, you know, FEMA created what's called regional advisory committees. And so there's a national one, and there are folks that are in the various disciplines and professions that get together quarterly and meet with the FEMA folks and discuss issues that, you know, maybe they don't see at headquarters because it's a little different perspective from the headquarters all the way down to the local level. And Sheriff Witt can certainly understand that. You've been there. So I think that's one big thing. I think both the state and the feds leaning forward and pre-positioning things is certainly a big change. And I think that there's less stigma, I guess, with a local entity asking for help and saying, hey, this is beyond our control. We need assistance. And so I think that's changed as well.
I think communication and coordination is probably key from Hurricane Katrina and then even on our local level from our 2003 ice storm. And every time I'm on the show, I get the opportunity to say how blessed we are here in Lexington. We really have good communication between our first responders and law enforcement partners. We get together regularly. We talk often. We sit around and we plan for things. And Pat is usually at the head of that planning for things that could possibly happen here in Lexington. We watch as things unfold throughout our country, and we say, okay, if that were to happen in Lexington, what would that look like? I think that we will continue for a very long time to be a model for how we responded to Flight 5191. I know the NTSB continues to hold us up as a model for working together in a disaster of that magnitude. And in 2003, I think we had a good response to our ice storm, but we certainly, after it was over, we all got together and we shared ideas about, boy, if we had had X, what difference that would have made.
I just got a memo, I guess, from the mayor. It said the Lexington Fire Department is sending a team to Texas today, leaving about 11:30 from Station 1 on 3rd Street. It said Friday, Texas did an emergency management assistance compact, an EMAC.
Yeah, an EMAC.
Request for a water source team, and Lexington Fire Department submitted paperwork the same day and was put on standby. Lexington Fire Department was activated last night at 10:30 to deploy. And we're sending 18 personnel, two boats, Suburbans, a passenger van, an F-550 truck, and a support trailer, logistics trailer. The deployment is for 9 days, and they're heading to College Station, Texas, which is 95 mm-hmm. miles outside of Houston. That's an honor for us, isn't it? Don't you think?
It is, and you know, we've, like I said, we have great resources and capability here. And again, it's from lessons learned. Every time that we have an event, or even nationwide, we'll look at this event. I've already been watching some things that Houston has done and say, how could we apply that here, or that wouldn't work here, or things like that. So I think one of things that make us so good here in coordination is that once we do an after-action report and get together and talk about things, it's just not a report that sits on a shelf. Mm-hmm. We very actively move forward with trying to implement or change whatever processes. So it may take us a little while sometimes, but just like after the first ice storm, we realized a lot about our elderly population. And then that's when several of us got together, and the health department basically put together a package so that we could start opening medical need shelters for mm-hmm. folks. And now we have that capability to do for 350. So, I mean, we really do take the lessons and try to apply them here.
Yeah, so that document that she's talking about really becomes a living, breathing document. It becomes a playbook for preparation for the next event that happens in our community. But I think that's another lesson learned from Katrina, was the better utilization of the EMAC and the different entry points of EMAC, because there weren't as many entry points for EMAC during the Katrina hurricane.
What do you mean by entry points?
All right, so for us, we were deployed to go to Katrina as the sheriff's office, so we sent two teams down there. But we didn't have an entry point for the National Sheriff's Association. I had to go around about different point of entry. So now I am, as the sheriff's office here in Fayette County, we are registered through the point of entry into the EMAC from the National Sheriff's Association.
Now, is there a possibility we'll have also people from your department going?
I hope that we will. We have a lot of staff that are already saying, I'll go. I don't know. It'll depend on what they need and where we are in that line with the National Sheriff. But we certainly have already volunteered our staff and any resources that we have.
That's so cool.
Yeah, you know, when I go back to Katrina, I look at things that are different then than now. And, you know, I guess the number one thing, and with LAX and Fayette Mall and Salvation Army doing that Make a Difference drive today,
right.
In the Katrina hurricane, there were a lot of people who wanted to do something. And I know the Bobsters Motorcycle Club, they stepped up and they donated all kinds of things. But then it was clothing, it was shoes, it was undergarments, it was water, diapers, all those kinds of things. And then we didn't hear anybody, and I think it was on this show, we didn't hear anybody stepping up to receiving all of those items. So we volunteered the sheriff's office to do that. And it really, first it started in our lobby, and then it got so big, we had to move it to our secure garage so we could stage it and sort it and all of that. And it almost overtook our garage down there in the basement with all the donations and people wanting to make a difference. And then we stood around and we looked and we said, okay, we've got two teams going, but how are we going to get all of this there? And a trucking company in Nicholasville heard about it and volunteered to send two of their semis, drove there to deliver those supplies. But a lesson learned. Today, they're asking for monetary donations. Because
right.
Katrina maybe got to the point where they were overwhelmed by stuff.
Stuff, right.
Stuff. And that victimized people even more.
It did.
I have nowhere to go. What am I going to do with this stuff?
Right.
So, and Houston right now is so underwater still. There's limited places to put stuff. And they're still in the midst of recovering people, really dealing with the emergency. It's not over yet. And so it takes a lot of resources to deal with stuff. I'm going to date myself, but way back when, we took a huge tractor trailer load to Hugo, to South Carolina. And I stayed and worked to help deal with the stuff, because there were just not enough bodies to do that kind of work at that particular time.
Right.
Now, as the disaster evolves and they get more into the recovery phase, the needs may change.
Right.
Pat Duggar's with us, along with Fayette County Sheriff Kathy Witt, talking about all the things involved with emergency situations like the one we find ourselves in now down in Texas. And I guess only time will tell, Sheriff, but Alan Stein's in the studio. He was reminding us that we sent bus drivers down during Katrina. I mean, there are all kinds of possibilities of people that might end up down there, right, Pat?
Sure. I mean, law enforcement is certainly, I mean, the responders that are there are going to get tired,
right,
and worn out and exhausted. And but there's still duties and functions to perform. So whether it's law enforcement, even public sanitation workers,
yep.
I mean,
right.
You know, we sent those to Falmouth before and up there. So, you know, every discipline is going to be needed eventually to help support, you know, the workers there.
Lexington is very generous. We're a very caring community, and not only does our government step up, but individual citizens step up. Those, you know, with skills that are needed during a catastrophe, folks from the medical industry, folks from the utility industry. You know, when we had our ice storm, to
yeah.
see those utility trucks mm-hmm. come in from, you know, Louisville and further away
yeah.
to restore our power to 146,000 Fayette Countyans. Just, oh, man, it just made your heart beat a little faster.
Absolutely.
Now, something that we have seen, as I'm sure you have noticed, both of you folks have noticed, is we haven't seen this racial divide that we've had for the last several months during this disaster. In fact, I've seen some pretty remarkable pictures of black people helping white people out and white people helping black people and Hispanics helping, you know. It appears to me when we have something like this, we kind of forget all that crap and just help each other. We can't ignore the fact that before this happened, we had this event, you know, that down in Virginia, horrible situation, and then the threat, I guess, of those folks coming here. So now, when that happened, when they said they might have a rally here, the Klan and the Nazis and whatever, I mean, what do you guys do? Do you get ready for that? Do you prepare for that?
So, yeah, as a first responder, we have a really close relationship with our partners at the Lexington Division of Police, and we oftentimes have talked about issues like that. And Chief Barnard has done an outstanding job in pulling people together and other partners at the state and federal level. Discussing what our rollout plan would be. And at a time like that, you stand back and you look at your resources again. You put them under a microscope and you say, okay, if I had this, would that make our response better? You make sure that your staff has the equipment that they might need in that event. You know, you equip your staff with the emergency response equipment like that, but things such as gas masks, whether you use the canister or not, it expires. So you got to make sure that those canisters are still active and they haven't expired. And so you're talking to staff, you're regrouping, and you have really real intentional conversations during roll calls. You know,
yeah.
gauging how staff is feeling about
mm-hmm.
that possibility. You know, for me and Pat also, in the amount of time that she's been doing her work as well as I have, I remember a time
mm-hmm.
When a group came to Lexington. And, you know, Chief Barnard and I had not talked about it, but when he said it in council, when he said to people, stay home, have your rally somewhere else.
Yeah.
That's what happened many years ago when a very ugly group decided to come to Lexington.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody,
is this the Klan?
It's that ugly group.
Yeah.
And yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nobody showed up. Nobody.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Nobody
and that's,
showed
talk
up.
Talk about. Talk about raining on their parade.
Nobody showed up.
Because they're counting on causing trouble.
Right, because
yes.
hate doesn't exist here. And like Nelson Mandela said in his autobiography from 1994, we are not born knowing to hate. Hate is learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can learn to hate, then you can undo it and learn to love.
What do you say?
I agree with Sheriff Witt's comments, and we do get together and talk about things, because what the public sees is the law enforcement presence on the street, but there's so much other impacts that they can have, you know, on the social, the medical community. So, you know, it's looking at the community as a whole and making sure that we have those discussions, we talk about preparedness. What tools do we have? What things do we have? So we certainly do those discussions. And, you know, we practice every single month in the Emergency Operations Center, and all of the partners are there. you know, law enforcement partners, fire, health department, and we go through different scenarios.
Is that right? That's interesting.
And we do that. We have a speaker. We go through an exercise, and we may tabletop it. We may actually have injects and phone calls come in. So we practice monthly. And then all the other agencies practice on their own. They drill separately and do things, but as a whole community with all the partners together, we do that monthly here in Lexington. And that's one of the things I think really paid off in 5191. Everyone was used to working together.
Absolutely.
If things didn't go exactly as planned, we knew how to powwow together and take another direction or go something. So we are very blessed here in Lexington that the group that responds to all of these types of events, whether they're natural disasters or other types of things, work really well together. They communicate, they train, they practice, and they get through whatever it is and do what has to be done.
Mm-hmm. And as an observer, because I wasn't behind the scenes like you all were, but as an observer from the outside, it seemed to me that actions after the crash of 5191 seemed to just be almost flawless. It was smooth
remarkable.
As can be.
It was very remarkable.
Yeah, because none of these people had ever done that before.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they'd practiced for it, but there's a difference. Between,
yeah, there's a very big difference.
Yeah,
you would never imagine that it would happen.
No,
here.
No,
you just
of course
not.
Not.
And
course
I hope
not.
I hope our families feel the same way. We've had a couple of them over the years on this show, Jack.
Right.
And I think they do. But the proof is in how they feel.
Right.
How they feel about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, again, you know, you see first responders mainly when you see big events like this happen or unfold. But the behind-the-scenes people are just as important. And I was in D.C. Recently with the FBI's Office of Victim Assistance Unit. And, you know, we need to also incorporate our victim advocates in the planning for these types of disasters. Because you think of your victim advocate when you get it to the point of criminal prosecution. But they are so critical during events like this. People that have been victimized during that chaos, during that event, making that initial contact with an advocate to start to talk to them about resources available, whether they choose criminal prosecution or not, just to help with processing what happened to them during that chaos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so everybody plays such a vital role.
Yeah, I mean, and the partnerships are critical. I mean, we had an airport exercise this past spring. And one of the lessons learned is several of the agencies need more training and knowledge about victim assistance and family assistance. And so the airport sponsored, you know, a workshop and a class, brought in some professionals and educators, and had people from the whole region come and attend that. So, you know, wherever the need is, you know, the community responds, whether it's helping other communities or ourselves.
All right. So what is the hip phrase now, takeaway. What's our takeaway, Sheriff, from today's show?
Well, I think our takeaway is that we all can do something to make a difference, whether it is a disaster in our own community or one somewhere else in the United States of America, knowing how to get connected and how to get plugged in, knowing what is the need at the moment, rather than, well, I'm sure they need this, let me just give it, but knowing what the need is at the moment. Standing back today and going forward and looking at your own skill set and deciding, are you going to be willing to put that into play should you be called upon to do so? Partnerships that we have in Lexington, I hope our community continues to know about them and appreciate them, because sometimes they are truly one of a kind. And just know that these partners here in Lexington, we know we're not perfect. And after each event, we always stand back and say, you know, that seemed to go okay, but how could we have made
it
better?
Yeah, that's right.
Here's a text that for you, Pat, that says, do we have buildings? This sounds maybe far-fetched. I would wish it was far-fetched, but I don't think so. Do we have buildings designated as bomb shelters because of the North Korean threat, having Bluegrass Army Depot's nerve gas storage here? And we would we likely be a target or possibly be a target?
We no longer have designated buildings as bomb shelters. That program, you know, went away a long time ago. But it's probably something that I'm sure the state of Kentucky will look at again and see if that's appropriate. And, you know, since there is the nerve agent in Richmond, I think that any kind of group looks at places where they can cause a lot of havoc and, you know, get on the news. So, you know, you can't. you can't say that that wouldn't be something that folks would look at.
Yeah. It's a crazy world.
It's becoming that way. But there's still lots of good people in the world. And the good people, the good caring people really outnumber. They really outnumber the people who choose to not do good.
I agree.
And, you know,
all you have to do is look at Texas right now.
Look at Texas. You mentioned that. The eclipse was another thing.
Yes.
Yeah. At that moment, everywhere in the United States of America, everybody came together.
Regardless of color or
looking
race or religion.
Up to see this remarkable event.
Yeah.
Well, and the thing about Houston, too, and Texas is that's just people acting naturally. That's just their first thought. You know, some of these other events, you know, they have to plan and look for things to bring that to. With Texas, it's just that's just the way they are to each other. That's, you know, that's the way we feel. Is good
it's the
partners.
Feeling that they're born with.
That's right.
Since you've been doing this since the 80s, what's the worst in Lexington? Was it the first ice storm that you dealt with?
Well, the ice storm, the first ice storm in 2003 is long. 8 days, that's a long time for folks to be without power and everything else. Mm-hmm. I think the very first flood back in 1989 was tough. And then the plane crash was extremely difficult.
Yes.
Those are probably the three, I would say, the more difficult ones to manage.
Mm-hmm. And again, I applaud everybody that was involved. The ice storm, I was part of town, north part of town, was out 7 days, which is a long time. But, man, I tell you, those crews were here. And as you say, they were from all over.
They were.
Crew working on our street was from Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the lights coming on and people cheering them and just mm-hmm. so appreciative that they came to our community to get us back up and running again. And, again, just Americans working with each other all across America.